Well, praise the Lord. I am so happy to be here this morning for a number of reasons. This is my home church, and I am glad to be home for a while. Some of you know I travel quite a bit right now. Someone asked me, are you going to talk about the meetings that you've been going to? I said, you don't understand. This is my 165th meeting this year. And by the time I end, I'll have 203 meetings under my belt. And that's not saying anyone that's scheduled in between then. So I'm usually moving from one meeting to the next meeting because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that good news? Is that good news? Yeah, I still say that. Is that good news? Some of you wonder if I said that or not. Well, this morning, before I get started, I want to make sure that you know that I have my cousins up here on the front pew. Some of you don't know this, but me and Roz and Marie found out that we are blood cousins. You know? Which means then she's related to pastor through marriage, because my son married one of the Greckles over here, and the Greckles are spread out all through this church. Ain't that right, you guys? That means I'm Norma and Ken, we've got Lindsay, we've got, who else do we got? We got a lot, don't we? You know, that family just keeps on growing. So if you have a child in this church, just know that you're going to become relatives with somebody sooner or later. Whether you want to or not, they're going to become your relative, all right? I'll just let you know that right now. So you got all those relatives you just came into contact with. Yeah, we're relatives according to the word of God and being children of God. That's good news, too. But there's also those blood relatives. So I just want to make sure that you guys know that's why they're sitting up here. Marilyn's in Virginia with my daughter. She's due to have her second child, a boy named Jonathan Joseph. So we're looking forward to that little boy coming into this world. You know, I enjoy being a grandpa. My granddaughter, Gabrielle, called up and she said, I want to talk to Grandpa. The other day she called up and I didn't answer the phone. And so I heard this voicemail, Grandpa, Grandpa, he's not answering. How do you feel after that, you guys? That's a really good message to keep on your phone, ain't it? You know, I've got some things out in the for you, you guys. Some of you have seen it before. One of the things I think is really good to get is this USB. It has a lot of teachings on. Some of those teachings have been done in this church, some others. There's no way I can get up here and tell you everything that I experienced where I went. You know, the thing about it, you know, one of my sayings is just go and find out for yourself. Not right now, but when your time's up on this planet. Because if it ain't your time up, he may be sending you back. And it ain't fun coming back here, you guys. This world has a lot of issues. And you don't know how much they have until you leave and come back. It's just like anything else. Some of you don't want to go back to where you were. Are you from West Virginia? You know, I'll be in West Virginia next month ministering. I have to tell you about that, Billy Joe. And that was interesting. But the bottom line is you go back to those places and say, oh, man, I came from this place. What do you think I said when I came back here? Oh, I came from this place. So those things are out in the foyer. There's a number of things out there. We have the book out there with CDs out there. And we also have a CD that we're getting ready to show. I usually show this CD for one reason. Some of you have seen it before, but there's many people in this room that have never seen this CD. It's from the 700 Club. And it's about 6 minutes long. And the reason I show it is because it literally gives the testimony of what happened to get me where I went. If you don't know, my heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. Not according to my words. That's according to the medical records. And during that time, because I was born again, because I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, I went where Christians are supposed to go. Amen. Now, someone's got to grab what I just said. You know what I mean? It is not unusual for Christians to go to heaven. That's what happens to us when we leave this body, or what we call die. You know what I mean? Coming back, that's a whole different story. But usually we go and we stay. But I want to show this DVD because it's just going to bring people up to where we're at. And then we're going to go from there. I mean, you want to hand these out to some people? I couldn't catch my breath. It was getting shallower and shallower. And I can remember saying to myself, I am dying.
And then his blood pressure dropped.
And I looked at the doctor and I said, what's wrong with him?
His heart stopped.
And he says, well, we need to intubate your husband right now, or else he could die.
and then we start doing the chest compressions.
Dean Braxton's system was shutting down. It started as a routine procedure to remove a kidney stone. Now he was done. Dr. Manuel Irigui was on duty in the critical care unit at St. Francis Hospital in Federal Way, Washington. He explains what went wrong.
As it turns out with him, the antibiotic that he received was not good for the bacteria. It was resistant.
Dean's body went into multi-organ failure, and his heart flatlined. Dr. Irigui's team worked furiously to revive him. Dean's wife, Marilyn, prayed.
I did say to the Lord, I said, Lord, you said in your word that you've come to give Dean life and life abundantly. And I claim that abundant life for him.
At times, the unit was in chaos as they worked to save Dean's life. But he was experiencing something very different.
I wasn't afraid. It was like, I'm going home.
Dean believes he went to heaven.
When I first entered in, it was just bright. It wasn't so much what I saw as much as what I experienced. The first thing I perceived was, everything is right. There's nothing wrong here. And I said, it's past peace. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible in Philippians, the fourth chapter, that says, peace past understanding. That's what's going on there. It's landscape, but more, because everything's alive. Nothing's dead. I don't mean just live like grass. I mean, it's intelligent. It can move. You know, it thinks. And someone says, well, that's way out there. It was way out there for me. You know, I'll tell you the truth.
Dean says he felt like he was being pulled back into his body. Then he flatlined a second time. Again, he was in heaven. This time, he saw Jesus.
The first thing that comes to me is he's bright, just like John says. He's brighter than the noonday sun. And the next phrase I say, I wish people could grab it. And it's this one. And we could look at him. And what you're looking at is not so much the physical part of it. You're really experiencing the love he has for you. And I tell people it's like he only loves you and no one else. I saw him communicating to angels. He would just look at them. Communication there was thought to thought. They would acknowledge his receiving his information, bow before him like this, and then back out. And it was like, wow.
Dean admits he didn't want to come back.
And I don't tell you the truth. I was happy. I was planning on staying, you know. And people always say, yeah, you know, didn't you love your wife and your children? Yes, I loved them probably more than I ever could. But I was thinking, you come here. You come here where everything is right.
Then Dean saw family he hadn't seen in a long time.
And yet, on the other side of Jesus was my family, my grandmother Mary, but with her were other relatives. And some I had recognized. I had been on this planet when they were here. But then there was generation after generation after generation after generation of those that accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that helped to produce me on this planet. They came to greet me in. And it was like, God.
While Dean was in heaven, Marilyn continued asking God for a miracle.
I purposed in my heart that whatever the outcome, I was going to follow God all the way.
After an hour and 45 minutes, Dean came back with a weak but steady heart rate. But the bacteria had done a lot of damage, and he had to go on dialysis.
I did not think he was going to survive. In a way, I told his wife that, you know, now we have just to pray and wait because there is nothing else I can do.
I believe in healing. I believe that God is a healer. And I was trusting God for Dean's healing.
3 days later, Dean woke up.
He was so eager. We got to get people saved. We got to let people know about Jesus.
Despite doctors' concerns that Dean's prolonged ordeal would leave him impaired or even worse, there are no signs that Dean even had a brush with death. He's the picture of health. In fact, the staff at St. Francis Hospital dubbed him the Miracle Man.
It's a miracle that he's alive. There's no question about it. It is a miracle. Yeah, he's alive, that he's talking, that he has no brain damage. But this is very exceptional because he was really, really dead for a long time.
So what does a man do who's experienced heaven and still wants to be there? Dean says Jesus told him something that keeps his feet firmly planted.
I felt like he was saying, I need you there more than I need you here. And I came to understand then how important it was for me to complete what God had put me on this planet to do. The bottom line is, until I'm finished here, you know, and I cannot go back home. I tell people most of the time, I'm on my way home. Don't get me wrong, I'm on my way home. This is the pathway my Father says I have to go to get home.
Thank you, Jesus. Some of you have seen that before. That was put out by the 700 Club. A couple of things I always like to point out is the 700 Club just didn't come and say this man said he died and we're going to put him on TV. They did 6 months of investigation. They went through the medical records with experts to make sure that what we were saying was the truth. Okay, so it wasn't just something that someone filmed and they said, hey, we're going to put him up here. He'll draw in a crowd or something like that. They made sure that the information that we were coming out, and we had come here before that was put together. You know what I mean? And many of you had heard the story before. But they had to make sure that what we were saying was true. Because a lot of times what happens is when someone has this type of experience, people like to put them up there or her up there because it sells. Do you hear what I just said? You know, lots of people say they've gone to heaven and things like that. And I'm not saying they haven't. But I'm just saying that in our case, we have the medical records that said the man died. And we have that doctor that makes a very strong medical statement, which is so hard to understand for most people. And as he says, he really, really died. Yeah. Do you guys hear what you said? Now, for me, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know there were levels to death. I thought when you died, you just died. But this doctor, which is an expert in the medical field, he said he really, really died. You know? You know, and the bottom line is this, you guys. Because I was born again, because I know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, I hope you can grab this. I know some of you, your family, you see me all the time, you touch me, you talk to me. But hear what I'm saying right now. Because I was born again, because I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because I have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me forever, I went where Christians are supposed to go. If you fit within that criteria, you're going to go to heaven. Scripture says in John, the 14th chapter, I like reading this chapter, these verses, and some of you heard it before. It's almost like I'm the Peter now. I'm bringing it back to your remembrance. Somebody, some reason, God says you need to remember it again. You may say, well, I got it all down. I'm going to tell you something. When you get there, you find out you don't got it all down. There's a lot of stuff that you just don't have down. You think you have it all down, but when it comes down to it, seeing it there, it's much more greater than you can ever imagine. I was thinking about when the 700 Club showed those flowers up there, and every petal in heaven has its own story. Not every flower, but every petal has its own story. And for someone just to concentrate on the petal story, it would take the rest of your life on this planet. You think we got it all down? Somebody don't get it, do they? We don't have it all down. So when someone comes and he brings it back to your remembrance, you got to say, okay, I got to refresh. I got to go back into that. See, the Word of God does two things. We grow in the Word of God, and the Word of God grows in us. Most of the time, we're trying to grow in the Word of God. But you don't understand, the Word of God also grows in you. It's like a seed. And as it gets watered, God gives an increase to it. And where you think you understood something before, all of a sudden you have a new revelation, we call it. Which really is the tree grew a little bit bigger inside of you. Is that good news? Is that good news? Amen. So here it is, John, the 14th chapter, starting at the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going to stop right there. This is Jesus Christ talking. You've heard this before, but hear it again, some of you. What he is saying is this. Everybody on this planet sooner or later is going to have to leave their body. It's what we call death. Where are you going to go? If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're not going to go where Jesus said you're supposed to go. Did you hear what I just said? Most of us don't get that. We think, oh, that's just a statement. It doesn't really matter. No. What are you saying? For us that are born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me. My wife sometimes, she said, man, you say that a whole lot. Because most people don't realize who they have on the inside of them. If you're born again. I know, because I walk among many of the people here. And they talk like they ain't got God on the inside. Well, I hope I ain't getting on nobody. You're all my brothers and sisters, and I love you dearly. But the reality of it is you got God Almighty, the creator of the universe, that one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that one that can do anything, living on the inside of you. I hear people say, I'm not close to God. If you're born again, you're close. He's on the inside of you. Statement. How much closer can he get? Think about it. No, grab that. Put it into your head. Put it into your heart and think about it. He's right. How much closer can God get? I don't feel it. Doesn't go by feelings. Pastor John this morning is talking about feelings in his class. You know, many of us, we rate our relationship on feelings instead of on what the Word of God says. I love to bring up in Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting at the 22nd verse, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it tells you what those fruit of the Spirit is. But most of the time, we don't realize it's not telling you that you're going to feel like it when you're supposed to be showing the fruit of the Spirit. He's not saying love people you want to love. He's saying love people you don't want to love. Yeah. How many of you feel like I don't want to love somebody, but God wants you to love them? Yep. He's telling you to be gentle to people you don't want to be gentle to. You know? He's telling you to be kind to someone you don't want to be kind. He's saying have self-control when you don't want to have self-control. Yep. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been on and off a diet for years. Some of you laughing about it. Some of you ain't. But the bottom line is, those are times when you don't feel it. You don't feel it in your spirit, you guys. I mean, not in your spirit, but in your flesh. But you know it's right because God said they are spiritual things. See? Sometimes we have to do those things. And then we see the results afterwards. This morning, I felt like I was supposed to go to Rose, the place off of Pacific, to eat. And I got up this morning and I was going to go to Sherry's because I said, I'll go to Sherry's. But I heard the Holy Spirit said, no, you need to go to Rose. I hadn't been to Rose to eat breakfast in a long time. So here I go. I go to Rose. I pull up. And guess who's at Rose? My brother John that helps me out and travels with me. And Rick and Nancy Teal. So, and they had a chair just for me. So I sat down in the chair and Rick paid for my meal. God know what he's doing, you guys. You know, but that's not something I was feeling at the moment. That's something I knew in my spirit I needed to do. Do you hear what I just said, you guys? And the breakfast was really good there. So if you want to go there, you can go and eat and you'll feel good after you eat, too. So. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. You guys got to grab what I just said. You don't have to worry about anything. If you don't have to worry about dying, you surely don't have to worry about anything else. Am I correct? Because he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about it. You don't have to worry about it. No? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have that out there on that side of the building, right over here on this side of the building. When you come in, if you haven't seen it before, look over there as you're leaving. You'll see that statement over there in 1 John, the 14th chapter, the 6th verse. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through Jesus. That is not a belief system. It really gets me when we think that's our belief system. That's how we believe. It's past belief. It's the way it is, whether you believe it or not. There is no other way into heaven but Jesus Christ. That is not because you feel like it. I'm going to be a Christian today and that's how it's going to be. It's that way whether you feel like it or not. Jesus is the only way. Sometimes people say, well, you offend everybody when you say that. You don't understand. I'd rather offend them here and give them a chance, because when they get there, it's too late. And the Bible literally says every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Do you know what that means? We think about Christians. No, it means everybody will acknowledge that he is Lord someday. Did you hear what I just said? So it's better that you give them a chance on this planet to make that acknowledgement, because when they get there, it is too late. Did you hear me? Somebody need to hear me, because you need to tell somebody. Well, I don't want to offend them. They believe in Buddha and all that. And they believe in Hare Krishna, and they believe in Muhammad and all these things. And I'm going to tell you right now, none of those get you in. Jesus gets you in. Tammy, when I got there, Jesus looked at me, saw himself on the inside of me. I love to say this because you got to understand the grasp of this statement I'm getting. He looked at me, saw himself on the inside of me, and I was in. Is that good news, Billy Joe? He didn't see nobody else on the inside of me. He saw himself on the inside of me, and I was in. When did I get in? The day I accepted him as Lord and Savior. Is that good news? Most of us don't realize we're in. Some of us don't get it. We're in. Now, when you watch that up there, you heard the doctor, Dr. Rigge. I always like to say Dr. Rigge wasn't the one that caused the issue. He was the one that came in and cleaned up the mess. He's the critical care doctor. He is not just any type of doctor. He's not a family practitioner. He is a doctor that goes to school to be brought into the most critical situations in a person's life when they're in the hospital room to stop them from dying. He's not brought in for any other reason except to stop people from dying. So for this man to make a statement that the man was really, really dead, he knows what he's talking about. The good thing about it, like I said earlier, is I was born again. If I was not born again, I would not have gone where Jesus Christ says Christians go. Did you hear me? I would have went somewhere else, and a lot of people think it's going to be fun down there. It ain't fun. You know, one of the greatest statements I made, and I think is people really overlook it, is when I realized I was dying, I made a statement, I'm going home. Yeah. How many people you think they're going to hell said I'm going home? Do you understand what I mean? That can only come out of those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It cannot come out of those that don't know him. Because most of them don't know where they're going. But us that are born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of us, we can make a statement at that moment as, I'm going home. You see how much freedom is in that statement? You're going home. You know? What happened to me, and you heard Dr. Rigge said they gave me some antibiotics because I had a kidney infection. And that kidney infection wasn't taken care of. Some of you heard the story before. So when they blasted the stone, they pushed the poison throughout my entire body. And my body started shutting down. I can remember telling people that I died. And I said to them, I said, hey, no, I really suffocated. Most people say, well, your heart stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. My lungs stopped first. Anybody almost suffocated in this building? It ain't a fun thing to go through. Am I right, Bill? It's something you don't want to ever die of. Because I almost died as a little kid one time jumping into water thinking I could swim. And no, opened up my mouth, did not come in air. All that was coming in was water. My lungs were not getting what it needed. I started to suffocate. My brother dived in and saved me. Thank God for that. Pulled me out. But I thought I had an understanding with God that if I leave this planet, it will not be suffocation. And what happens? I suffocate. You know what's so good about that, you guys? Is before I wasn't a born again. This time I'm born again. So I got to experience it as a Christian would experience it now. It's a whole different experience when you experience it as a Christian. Do you hear what I just said? See, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that literally when Jesus died, he took the sting out of death. Most of us don't realize what that means. We think it means just a spiritual death. It means a physical death, too. See, I could say on that moment, I'm going home, but they don't understand that what was going on with me just before that moment was all of a sudden I knew I was dying. And I said to myself, I should be panicking. I should be hysterical. I should be freaked out. But I wasn't. I was more surprised than anybody that I was not freaked out at that moment. You guys know what I'm talking about. Because we all think about it. How are we going to react when that moment comes upon us? And I'm thinking I'm going to react with a freaking out. You know what a freaking out is? Ah! Some of you know what I mean. Ain't that right, Jerry? But I didn't. The statement that came to my mind was, I'm going home. This peace, this joy, this happiness just overflooded me because I knew where I was going. Is that good news or is that good news? I like to say it like this. It was like a salmon going home. You know what? I was just over in Baker City, Oregon, and I was taking a tour of their interpreter center, which talked about the Oregon Trail. But it also talked about salmon. And it talked about how when these dams were built on the Columbia River and the other rivers, that they stopped the salmon from going upstream. They said salmon would travel all the way from the ocean 400 miles inland. We don't talk about that. That salmon knew exactly where to go. It didn't matter what it was going to go through. It was going to make that 400-mile trip. You know? Well, guess what? If you born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you, when this comes to you, you're going to make a lot longer trip. And it's going to be a lot faster. Is that good news or is that good news? So what happened during that time? I asked the Lord, what do you really want me to speak about? Because there's so many things that I could say, especially I want to say to my own home church. And he said, I want you to tell them what it was like to die. What it was really like to die. Most of us don't ever think about that. What was it like, Dean? Were you in a lot of pain? I tell people all the time, I really don't know because I wasn't there. How can I make that statement? You were there. You died. They said you died. The man said you really, really died. They said you died for an hour and 45 minutes. Your heart stopped, you know, and your lungs stopped. I came to understand recently by a friend of mine named Dr. Reggie Anderson. He wrote a book called Appointments in Heaven. You know, it just came out. He's a guy that we did a show just recently on the Jonathan Burns show, with Jewish Voices. Me and him and the rabbi did it. He did the medical side, I did the experiential side, and then the rabbi's doing the theological side. It'll be coming out next month. I've been blessed, you guys, every year to have one national TV program to go across the nation. You know, ever since the Sid Ross show, we did the Biography Channel, we did the 700 Club, and then Jonathan is also around the world, too, to be able to share the story. And that's Jesus. That's not Dean Braxton. I ain't been out there promoting myself. That's Jesus. He's doing the job. Okay. But Reggie told me something. He let me know what were the death, parts of death. He said there's three types of definition of death for a doctor. There's clinically being dead, there's brain dead, and then there's biologically being dead. He said most states only recognize clinically being dead. Clinically being dead means your heart and your lungs have stopped. That's what it means. I was considered clinically dead because my heart and my lungs had stopped for an hour and 45 minutes. Did you guys hear me? Okay. Brain dead means I have no activity up here. Very few states look at that because you can have your heart and your lungs still operating and have no brain activity up here. Only a few states, he said only two really, recognize it throughout the United States. No other states recognize it. Only two of them. You know what I mean? I'm trying to walk in these boots and it ain't working, is it? This thing is softer than the hard floor. You know how that is. Okay. But the bottom line is this, you guys. Then he says there's biologically being dead. Biologically being dead means that you have deteriorated to such a point that literally your cells are dying. The best way to explain that is Lazarus in the grave for those days when his sister comes up to Jesus and says, he stinketh. He started stinking. You hear what I just said? Reggie said, Dean, really, in reality, you were past clinically being dead. You were in the stage of being what we would call biologically dead. I must have really stunk bad. You know? He said, that's really what was going on with you. You were past the stage that we were recommended for anyone to be revived from. Most doctors only work 30 minutes. But is what's recommended by most insurance companies is 17 minutes of working on a person. Because after 17 minutes, that person's cells start dying. And if they come back, most of the time they're going to come back and end up in a nursing home. And guess who's going to have to pay the bill? Do you guys hear what I just said? But this doctor, for whatever reason, he not only went on for 30 minutes, he went on for another 30 minutes and another 30 minutes and another 15 minutes. He was way over what he should have done. Did you hear me? You know? In that time frame of him working on me, I was gone. I was not there. But there was a moment in between that I came to understand something that Jesus Christ did for us that most of us never even celebrate. You know what that is? We don't die. Most of us don't realize it. Our body dies, but we don't die. Scripture literally says that. I would have probably never have seen it before until I had this situation that happened in my life. See, when in John 3:16, let's go there. In John 3:16, many of you have heard this statement before. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I was saved. I wasn't just saved from going to hell. I was saved from dying, period. I came to understand that when that came upon me, I did not die. The Bible says in James, the second chapter, faith without works is dead. Just like the body is dead without the spirit. Most of us don't even grab that. Literally, your body cannot live without your spirit. But your spirit can live without your body. Most of the time we think it's the body kicking the spirit out. No, it's the spirit kicking the body off. Is that good news, you guys? You have more control over your flesh than your flesh wants you to know. We give in to it a whole lot because it's deceiving. Did you hear what I just said, you guys? But it can't even live without you. Some of you that come in on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights when Pastor said this, and he said it before, and I'll say it again. When I got back here, my body said to me, you will never do that to me again. And all I could say was, you alive? It was trying to convince me it had power over whether I die or not. And it has none. I don't die. It does. Do you hear what I said? Someone said, what was it like? I was not there. My body died, but I was not there. Well, did you feel anything? Did you feel the pain? No. Well, someone's got to grab what I just said. Jerry, your mom went on to be with the Lord. She died of cancer. She was going through pain, but I guarantee you the very moment of where it should have been the most painful time in her life, because she went on to be with Jesus, she did not feel anything. And she don't have no remembrance of it. Did you guys hear what I just said? There ain't nobody in heaven complaining about how they died. They're not up there saying, Jesus, it was a bad thing all the way up until the moment I left. Why did you let me go through that? They're not crying about it. They're not up there saying, oh, man, why didn't I just sleep and go? The bottom line is, you did not die. You have no remembrance of it. Did you hear what I just said? And you ain't complaining to Jesus about it, you know? Because he might say, well, okay, I'll send you back down there. This time you can experience it if you want. You know, but he ain't going to say that. The grace of God is great. We come and say a lot of stupid things that he overlooks. I know I do. I have this saying, when I talk to Jesus and he don't talk back, that tells me he ain't wasting his words. Some of you need to hear that. Because you keep on bugging him and he ain't talking to you. He's saying, it ain't a conversation for me right now. Do you hear what I just said? You need to keep on doing what you're doing and stop trying to convince him that you need to do something else. Okay? Trying to get confirmation from him that you need to quit a job that he wants you in. I don't like it. It's too hard. It's causing me all kinds of issues. The bottom line is, you guys, you're there because he wants you there. Remember that statement I made up there that I said that literally that I am not going to go home until I finish what he has put me on this planet to do? That's for every Christian on this planet. And some of you got jobs that you do not like, but God had you there not because you're making money, because he needs you there to literally talk to the others that are in that position. Because somebody's out there praying. And you are the one that he's tagged to do the work. So suck it up. Give him the praise and get doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're it. That's right. So here I am going through this situation of understanding. Literally, I did not feel any of the pain. I was not there. In Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse, it literally lets you know that Jesus Christ died your death. Not just spiritually, but physically. He literally died on that cross. He took the physical pain you would have taken when you die. Is that good news or is that good news? Most of us don't realize what comes with the package. We accept the package. We think it's one thing, and God's put a whole bunch of other things in that package for you. Amen. The victory things that he put on that in that package are greater than we could ever imagine. But that one got me. You know, you got to understand, 29 different things went wrong with this body. You've heard that before. But you got to understand, look at it from a medical point of view. There's no way I should be able to move my hands like this right now. None. According to the medical records. There's no way I should be able to perform my words or think like I'm thinking. None. According to the medical records. My kidneys started working after they had quit. According to the medical records, they were poisoned. They had died. There's nothing that said they should ever been revived. My toes were dead. They should have been cut off. I should not be having toes inside of these pointed boots right now. And yet, I have toes. Everything about this body, when you look at the 29 different things, you know what Dr. Anderson told me? He was looking at the records. He was going through them before we got on the show. And as he was going through them, he said, "Dean, you don't understand what happened here." And he's right. I don't know what most of those records say. I just got them. I know they're thick. A lot was going on, but I can't tell you everything that went on in those records because I'm not a medical person. And anytime I take those records and give them to a medical person, they always tell me more of what took place in this body. I think they're talking about somebody else most of the time. Do you hear what I just said? Because I'm thinking, did I really experience that? He told me this, and he told me the number. He said, "You know what? You had a massive heart attack." Now look, my lungs stopped. My heart stopped, but it had to be a massive heart attack. Not a minor heart attack, but a massive heart attack. He said, "Your heart was literally destroyed in this process." That's what he told me. He said, "Because here's the numbers of a massive heart attack, and here's your numbers. They're 10 times greater than a massive heart attack." You guys, I'm standing up here. I'm right before you. I can't tell you what it's like to have a massive heart attack. I was not there. Is that good news, you guys? I can't tell you what it's like not to breathe or suffocate because I was not there. You know what I mean? I can't tell you what it's like for things to stop operating in your body because I was not there. I went where Christians are supposed to go. Is that good news? Because that came along with the package. I know some of you in this room, you said, "I want to hear more about heaven." But I'm telling you things before you get there. You got to understand that literally you have been placed inward in that realm already. You have the gifts of that realm. Act like it. Act like it. You know, a lot of times when I'm up and I'm speaking, I tell people all the time that my job is really to go down the hallway and open up doors. Bam, 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 bam. My Tuesday meetings usually with Pastor and Pastor John, and we still meet on a regular basis when I'm in town. Am I right, John? Pastor John? You know, it hasn't stopped, is it? You know, and we have a great time in doing those time frames. But a lot of times, Pastor's sharing with me, and he'll say something to me, and it'll be scripture, but it opens up a door for me to be able to tell him something that I experienced through the Word of God. Many of you know, and I love making this statement, and I'll make this statement to the day I leave this planet. It is not my testimony that proves the Word of God. It's the Word of God that proves my testimony. You know, I really believe that's one of the reasons that I return to most churches 6 to 7 times. Someone say, "Well, you just talk about your testimony. You just talk. What, wouldn't people get tired of just hearing your testimony?" They must not, because they keep on asking me to come on back over and over and over again. You know, Last year we did 187 meetings. The year before that we did 150 meetings. This year we're doing 204 meetings or three meetings. You know, I hope I ain't speaking another one to exist in there. You know. But do you hear what I'm saying, you guys? It's because when we talk about this, we don't just talk about it. We teach our testimony through the Word of God. Somebody need to grab what I just said. Because most of the time when we are telling our testimony, we're telling a story. But we're not bringing in the scriptural references that we need to bring in. You know, I could not tell you about this dying experience without bringing in what God has done for us through the Word of God. I didn't do it. It's not just for me. It's for anybody that's born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of them. He didn't just say, I'm going to give it to Dean. He's special. You know what I mean? I love him more than I love Billy Joe. You know, Billy Joe's just there, but he's, man, that's a man right there. Billy Joe, oh no, he ain't that much. Jesus ain't doing that. You know what I mean? He has given just as much to me that he's given to Billy Joe. And he ain't being stingy about it. Now, we have the responsibility of accepting all of that he has given us. Is that good news, you guys? A lot of us don't accept everything that he's given us. You know? You're going to find out. Don't be one when you get to heaven to find out how much he has given you. Find it out here. Did you hear me? It always have a door open. You mean what I mean by having a door open? Don't think you know it all when you hear what you hear. There's more. The Word of God is alive, and it's growing on the inside of you. You know, on Wednesday nights, Pastor has meet nights, and on Sunday nights, and that's when I usually get to come. Some of you say, well, I don't see you on Sunday morning. It's mainly because usually I'm at another church on Sunday morning, okay? But when I'm in town, there has been times when me and Marilyn has drove into the parking lot from being outside of town somewhere else. You don't know that. But we came straight to our body instead of going home first. Did you hear what I just said? You know? So when I come home and we go straight to this church, we're going there for meet night. And our pastor will get up and he'll teach something. You know, a lot of you, I'll say this right off the bat, need to be here on meet night. You know what the Bible says? During these last days, and many of us believe it's the last days, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself, but literally gather yourself even more in these last times. We should be coming together even more and more and more. Do you hear what I mean? Most places I go, they don't have a Sunday night or a Wednesday night service. All they have is a Sunday morning service and family night on Sunday night. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we all would really respect that family night on Sunday night, we would have stronger families than we have right now. I know what's going on. Daddy's going home to watch the football game. Mommy's doing her thing. And the kids are in front of the Nintendo. Don't tell me that ain't happening. It ain't family like what we've been saying. You know, we need to be assembling ourselves even more during these last days, you guys. We're becoming closer and closer because the days are coming closer and closer to an end. And people go, I don't want to hear that. Well, whether you hear it or not, it's still happening. But if you're born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you, when that day comes, you won't be here. You'll be gone. You know? It doesn't matter where you at, you're going to leave. Because Jesus says that's what happens to Christians. You know, I've had a great time this morning. Praise God. You know, sharing with you, I really believe that the Lord wanted me to share that moment of dying because this is why, you guys. Because many of us are not walking like we will live forever. We're walking like we got a moment here and then we'll die and then we'll get a moment there. No. It's the same moment. Do you know I will always know Billy Joe? This is Billy Joe. You heard me talk about him. I like saying his name. Stand up. Stand up so everybody see how tall I am. You know what I mean? But the bottom line is this, you guys. Me and Billy Joe will always know each other. We will always know each other. We will know each other on this planet, and we will know each other when we get there. Me and Billy over here will know each other. Me and Roz and Marie here will know each other. Me and Pastor John will know each other forever. But we, literally as Christians, act like we're only going to know each other for a time period. Do you hear what I just said? I mean, we're going to be together forever. And we're going to like each other too. And we're not going to talk about each other or backstab each other or tell each other how we're going to have to act in heaven. Do you hear what I just said? We're going to have grace. We're going to have love. We're going to have peace. We're going to be gentle to each other. And we're going to have self-control. Sometimes you think when you get to heaven that God's going to just take care of us. You are a free agent. He is not going to change anything about you in the sense of your choice. You can still choose what you want. Someone said, well, can that mean someone get up there and choose the wrong thing? I'm going to tell you right now, everybody chooses the right thing. One reason, because you ain't got that flesh to help you choose the wrong thing. Is that good news, you guys? So in this moment of me leaving this body, I came to realize I do not die. The body does. And I can act like that on this planet. Is that good news? Everybody that's born again, know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you. You do not die. Your body does. Act like it. Act like it. Act like it. Well, I don't know what that means. Go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting at the 22nd verse, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Start there and start acting like it. Acting like it. Acting like it. Because you don't die. You might as well get used to it because that's the way you're going to be for eternity anyway. You might as well go ahead and start using it here because you're going to be that way forever anyway. That's good news. That's not bad news. You know, came with the package. He didn't say, well, when you get there, you're going to act this way. Here, I'm giving you it here on this planet. Is that good news, you guys? We are free. We are free, you guys. If death can't stop you, nothing can. If the sting is out of death, what can stop you from living this life on this planet? Nothing. Because the worst thing that could happen to you is you die and you go to heaven. Somebody's got to grab what I'm saying. And it isn't because I said it. It's because Jesus said it. It's because Jesus did it. Oh. I get excited about it. You thought Marilyn get excited. I get excited too. Most of the time people say, oh, you seem kind of reserved. I ain't reserved. I'm exploding all the time. I just got work to do. You know, praise God. I want everyone to bow their heads and close your eyes. And please, out of respect, bow your heads and close your eyes. I know some of you in here, you're saying, well, I don't usually do that. Please do it today. If you're in this room and you have never, ever, ever made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand right now if you want to make a commitment today. Raise your hand. If you're in this room and you've never made that commitment before, but you want to make a commitment, you want to experience what I experience when you leave your body. There, the alternative is not great. Anybody in this room? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and put your hand down. Go ahead and put your hand down. Now I'm going to ask for another one. Let's say that you made a commitment to Jesus Christ, but you have not walked the way God has wanted you to walk. Sometimes we call it backsliding. Sometimes it ain't a slide very much down the slide. It's a very slow, maybe you've gone only an inch, but it's not where God wants you to be. But you want to at least say, today I am going to make a stand to do exactly what Jesus wants me to do. Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're in this room, okay, that's good, that's good. Put your hand down. Now keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed, everybody. If you raised your hand, please stand up right now. Ain't nobody looking. Just move those knees and just stand up real quick, real quick. Just make that stand, make that stand. Make a stand. You're making a stand today. Make a stand. If you made that stand now, I want you to come out and just meet me up here in the front. Just come out. Just come on out. Come on down. Come on down. Everyone else, please keep their eyes closed and their heads bowed, please. This is very important. Meet me right up here in the front right now. That's you. Let's say you didn't raise your hand, but you need to come up here any old way. Come on any old way. Come on right down here, right down here, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there. Let's see, anybody else, anybody else, anybody else? I'll wait for you, I'll wait for you. Because we're making a stand. We're not just making a stand for ourselves, we're making a stand for our family. We're making a stand for our children. We're making a stand today that we are going to walk the way Jesus wants us to walk. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, everybody else, go ahead and open your eyes. And you can clap. You can clap. This is good news. This is good news. Pastor John, I need you to come on up here. I know that we got personal workers here too.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All the personal workers, would you come up and stand behind these precious people? They're going to take you in the side room and share some things with you. The decision you made today is a permanent decision that lasts for eternity. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Hallelujah. As soon as the personal workers get up here, we'll have a word of prayer, and then they will take you in the side room over here to the my left. Appreciate the decision you made. They'll give you information on how to continue to get stronger spiritually and become who God has called you to be. He has a call on your life. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these precious, precious people that have responded to the Word of God and the message today. And Father, as they work with the personal workers, put the anointing upon the personal workers to answer any question, meet any need, Lord Jesus, so that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt the decision they made today is a permanent decision that will last through eternity. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, if you turn around, meet the person behind you, and then follow them over to my left. Then we're going to have, Dean's going to do some more ministering. So let's remain in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful day.
This is good news.
Amen.
In heaven right now, they're shouting the names of people that came up this morning. What if I challenge you to be louder than heaven right now for what just took place? Can you do that? Let's go! Woo! Woo! It's good news. Pastor John, it's in your hands before we pray.
Thank you, Dean. I was more interested in ministering than take up an offering for him. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. The ushers are up here. If you need an envelope, raise your hands. If you're making out a check, make it out to the church. Then it'll all be given to him in one check. And so if you need an envelope, raise your hand. Hallelujah. We just pray God meets every need that he and his family have. Hallelujah. It depends on the Lord in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, again, we want to say thank you. Thank you for the strength of that message today and the good word that you shared with us, Lord, and the victory we can live in while we're here, knowing that there's no pain in death. It's a passing from here to you. Now, as we take an offering for our brother, I just pray you bless it. Bless those that give, Father Jesus. May they be given strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's something else I want to do. This is my home church. I know most of you. One of the things that hits me in Maryland hard as we travel a lot is when we come home and we hear about the different sicknesses that have been coming through our body and the things that people are going through. We get texts every once in a while from people, but most of the time we come here, I meet with Pastor John or Pastor Jan, and then I hear from somebody, someone else has got something, or somebody else has got something. I'm tired of it, you guys. It hurts. I'm tired of it. This is by His word. When I was in heaven, there was nobody sick. There was no one ill. There was no one having any pain about any situation. And I'm at the moment right now, my wife said, I am sick and tired of hearing that people are hurting in our body like they've been hurting. You know, physically, financially, relationship-wise, you know. When you go away, like I went from here and went to heaven and came back, well, I travel out of here a lot. And I come back and I hear the things. They hit me hard. They're not soft things that hit me. I'm first of all going to ask those that went with me to Peru, to Singapore, to New Zealand, please come up front. I need you. I need you to be up here and make a line. Billy Joe, you and me soon, I need up here too. Tom, are you in here? I need you up here too. If you went with me, David, since you're married to Lindsay, why don't you come and support your husband? And I know the other Lindsay's got the baby. Is she in here? Is your wife in here, Aaron? Come on, yeah. These people traveled with me to other countries. Or they've been with me in the ministry and done something. Miguel, are you in here? Sometimes Miguel goes and does something else. You know. What are you pointing at? Always in person to work or okay. All right. But these people travel with me, you guys. We've seen great things happen when they go with me. You know, I always tell people it's not about Dean Braxton, it's about Jesus Christ. And you don't want Dean to touch you, you want Jesus to touch you. Roz, can you come on up? You help out. Come on up and help. You know. And the reason I got so many people up here, because I want them to spend time with you when they pray for you. I don't want it to be the little touch on the head and move on to the next person. I want them to literally stand in the gap with you for a moment or two. Do you hear what I just said? Because whatever the issue is, you know it better than they do. You know it better than I do. And you need someone to stand in the gap right now. Did you hear me? I'm going to ask everyone to stand because this makes it easier sometimes. When you're already standing, it's easy for you to move your legs. I've been in places where you ask people, please come up, and they ain't standing. And for some reason, their knees can't move. Remember that time we were in Picton? And that little girl, she wanted to come up front, and it seemed like demons were holding her back. Remember that, Rick? You remember that, Rust? Remember that? Aaron and Brent? And she said that she wanted Jesus so bad. Her dad had done terrible things to her. You know what I mean? It was terrible. I don't even want to talk about it over the pulpit right now. But she said that she had to make herself, because her knees didn't want to move, she had to force her entire body, and she kind of shot out of the chair because she wanted Jesus. This morning, some of you need a touch from Jesus in a powerful way. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to come up. No, I'm going to tell you, you need to come this morning. God's going to meet that need. Find someone up here, stand in front of them. They're going to pray for you. It ain't their power, it's Jesus. And your life's going to be changed. Not because I'm changing it, because Jesus changes it. Is that good news, you guys? If that's you, then come on up. Come on up. Come on up. We got people up here. If we got more than enough people, I'm going to call even more people out of the audience, because I know them. They family. Pastor John, you want to come and pray for people? Come on up. Come on up. Don't hesitate. Make your way up here. I'm going to ask the ushers to start directing people to people, please. John Ducos, can you help me? You knew I was going to call you. You're just waiting for me to say your name. I'm joking. I need help this morning. Come on up here in front, John, and just find someone to pray for. Sean, come, I need your help. Jerry, can you help us this morning? This morning, Jesus is going to change it, whatever it is. I don't have to name it. You know what it is. He knows what it is. That's good enough. He's going to change it. Things are not going to be the same when you leave here this morning. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. Bill, can you help me? Somebody's holding back because they don't want to be seen up here because they don't want people to know how big the issue is. Doesn't matter what the people see. Jesus already knows how big the issue is. Bill, right here. Bill, right here. Thank you. It's about Jesus touching you, not Dean Braxton. That's why you see me up here. Father, thank you for your presence right now. Thank you for the things that are changing in people's lives. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love that surpasses any love that we could receive. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your change in our finances. Thank you for the wisdom that you give us and the joy that goes along with it. Thank you for the patience that we can have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm done. Praise. Anybody else? Come on. We got people up here to pray for you. John, don't leave yet. There might be someone coming. This is your chance. Things are going to change. Not because Dean's saying it, because Jesus wants it changed more than you do. He wants to change it. You may be saying, I've tried it. It hasn't changed before. Come this time. Let's try it again. Just don't give up on him. He's not giving up on us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else? I just feel like I got John up here. John goes overseas. He sees lots of things happen. God works through him. Jesus works through John. So if you need healing today, and you've had lots of people pray for you, and you're believing, let's have John also be with that group that's already believing. And I'm not promoting John, I'm promoting Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Dean. The Holy Spirit's moving in a very precious way up here. I want you to reverence that. If you have to leave, then quietly leave. God will bless you as you go. Dean is going to be speaking again tonight, so come back and enjoy that. Learn. That's why I love church. We learn every time. So God bless you. You have a good afternoon.